Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am Tom Appel. Thanks for joining us today. Do me a favor, when you get a chance, check us out at consumerguide.com. While you're there, check out our 2024 Best Buy Picks. The list is an excellent place to start if you were considering test driving new cars for purchase. And you can listen to back episodes of the podcast right there on our homepage with me in studio. I just slammed the
and
microphone.
I'm the one
thing.
Who always is giving a hard time for talking with my hands for knocking things over.
Yeah. I got through the whole intro, didn't make any verbal mistakes, and then I slam into the microphone stand. Yes. That's that noise right there. That's probably coming through your mic.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Hey, Jill.
Hi.
All right. She is a North American Car of the Year juror. Her freelance work can be found all over the place. She's Jill Simonello, but I already blew that.
You did, but also managing editor for Pickup Truck Plus SUV.
That's the big one. And that's a big one today because your boss, Tim Esterdahl, is joining us to talk pickup trucks.
Yes, he is.
But you're going to be talking pickup trucks too.
I am.
We have a lot to talk about today. But first, I think it is snack time surprise.
Oh, okay.
So I need you to close your eyes.
Uh-oh. This is never good. I'm closing my eyes. I'm even covering them.
Yeah, I think you're going to be impressed. Also by the fun size involved here. Go ahead, open your eyes.
All right. Oh, God. No, that is definitely a treat. I will be tweeting or Twittering or Xing or Facebook storing a photo immediately.
I was at Speedway, which I don't think is a national chain, but it's a gas station with convenience store, and they have these little 50-cent bags.
Oh, my gosh.
They're adorbs. They're adorbs.
They are totally adorbs, and because you can't see what we're actually talking about.
Not yet.
Funyuns.
Yeah, so bad breath day. Here at the Car Stuff Podcast.
Oh my gosh, these, like, we what was it, last week we were talking
about
Yeah,
we were
these?
Talking Funyuns last week. Oh. So, there's four bags here. There were six bags. I don't know where the other two went, but they're delicious.
I'm totally, like, opening one right now.
Funyuns are delicious. They're the least natural thing on earth, but they're delicious.
That's me biting into one.
And I can smell them. I'm four feet
God.
From you.
They're so awesome. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So some stuff we have to clear up. We're going to be talking about the new Ram 1500 pickup in a moment. I wanted to, with snack surprise, I'm crossing that off my list. BMW X5 M60i. The BMW X5 is BMW's midsize crossover. It is also the second most popular premium crossover in the U.S. after the Lexus RX. That'll probably change this year because there's now the Lexus TX, which we'll dig into that RX sales a little bit. But sometimes I forget how good the BMW X5 is.
It's pretty good.
What a delightfully refined vehicle with a perfect ride and handling balance. And if you get the M60i, which gets very expensive, I was driving a vehicle that was almost 110 grand. So much smooth power, great ride and handling, beautiful cabin. Everything about it is great, except for the price.
It
got close to 110. The color, ruby red, how much do you think that was?
I think it was $1,000.
It's a $5,000 option.
Holy snikey.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good color. You're not looking at it. I had it up on the screen.
Now I'm looking at a picture of your weird music.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that because now I could sneak it into the podcast.
You could totally sneak it in.
Yeah. Every consumer guide review that I write features a picture of the center console and the music I'm listening to while I'm photographing the vehicle. And the music is always pretty weird.
It is always weird.
So people, no one has taken notice of that. I'm a little disappointed.
Okay.
All right. on the list of things I still need to talk about, Larry Knudsen, our good friend Larry Knudsen from the Midwest Automotive Media Association. He's a contributor to the Auto Channel. Used to be with Volkswagen. He's a mechanical engineer. Knows a lot of stuff.
He does know a lot of stuff.
He writes me a lot after podcasts, and he called me the other day, and he made a very good point. When we were talking to Sam, and we were talking about Jeep and the Jeep showroom, he did make the point that we were kind of talking about the metaphorical Jeep showroom because Jeep is almost always in a showroom with Ram and Dodge and Chrysler.
Okay.
So yes, there are other vehicles there. So if they're looking at price points, there are vehicles that aren't Jeeps that hit certain price points in that same showroom.
Okay.
So that's that point. But if you're sticking with Jeep, that was sort of our point.
Okay.
All right. Last week we talked about fun model names.
Yes.
And then we put out a call to listeners.
Yes.
For fun model names.
Yes.
And we may have made them, should have made that call a little more quietly.
Oh, good. Well, you know what? User response, we want that.
So I'm going to go through this list as quick as possible. Please feel free to comment at any point.
Okay.
I got an email from Damon Bell, our good friend Damon Bell. He said that he likes Hyundai Venue.
Oh, yeah.
Kia Carnival. Mm-hmm. Although he likes every minivan name, which is an interesting thought. I don't know if I like Pacifica.
Pacifica, no.
Best Sienna, van, no. I don't know if it's the best name.
No.
Hyundai Palisade. Kia Telluride. At Jeep, he likes Compass and Recon.
I like Recon.
Recon coming soon.
Okay.
I added to that list my own kind of Jeep favorites, Commander, which goes back, and it was also a really lousy vehicle in the earlier this century.
Yes.
Commando, great name. And I mentioned that Honcho, which was a trim level
yes.
on the pickup truck. I love that name. Tom Beeman, you know Tom.
Yes.
He chimed in with Caballero.
Oh.
Do you remember the Caballero?
I do not.
It was a GMC companion vehicle to the Chevrolet El Camino.
Okay.
So that was the pickup truck car.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know how to describe it, but El Camino, there was also the Ford Ranchero, but it was the car-based pickup for a while.
Like a trucklet?
Yep, like a trucklet. Okay. But Caballero, great name. It means gentleman.
I was going to say cowboy, but okay.
Close enough. Sam Fiorani chimed in.
Yep.
Cordoba.
Okay.
Which?
Corba.
Cordoba, just fantastic. What a great name.
Okay.
Great advertising campaign. And again, yeah.
Okay.
Lacrosse, the Buick Lacrosse.
All right. I played lacrosse in high school.
Hilariously, he has his Lacrosse and Mitsubishi Pajero on here.
Okay.
Both of those names are troublesome in some markets. I'm not going to go into details here, but people might want to look that up.
Okay.
Pajero is a type of leopard, by the way.
Okay.
All right. And then Sam mentioned something about Scout. You thought they were going to call him Scout 1 or Scout 2 or something like that. They probably won't do that.
Okay.
Because the last Scout that was sold under the International brand was the Scout 2. So that might just be a little confusing.
I don't think it would be confusing at all. And they already own the name.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, I don't know.
But there was something called the Scout 2.
Okay.
Sons of Speed guys did a poll right after our last episode.
Okay.
Roadrunner, Barracuda, Viper, and Stinger.
Ooh, I like Roadrunner. Roadrunner and Stinger.
Those are all good names.
Yeah.
And rest in peace, Stinger.
Yeah. I'm starting to see a lot of Stingers on the road. I saw a really cool, like, orange one on my way to Indianapolis this
weekend. I see them on the road.
Yeah.
All right. Listener Chuck likes Coupe de Ville.
Okay.
Nothing there not to like. Marty chimed in with Utopian Turtle Top. Do you know the story behind that name?
No.
A poet named Marianne Moore was hired by Ford to help them come up with names for the Edsel.
Okay.
And that was one of her suggestions.
Okay.
Utopian Turtle Top. Never actually a car.
All right.
John C. came up with the Eagle Talon, the Eagle Vision, but especially the Eagle Vision.
Okay.
Other Eagle names that were fun, Premier, Summit, and Vista.
Ooh, I like Vista.
Donald O. came up with Charger. Kyle came up with Probe, a name most people hate.
Oh, my gosh. So when I was in high school, I had a friend who had a gray Ford Probe, and my friend called her Roxanne.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will never be able to think about the Ford Probe.
Do you know if it was a first or second generation? Second generation car was really good looking.
I think it was second, but I don't know.
Listener Michael Thunderbird, of course. That's a good name.
Mm-hmm.
Listener Greg M6. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And then I got a long email.
Well, like BMW M6?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just a letter and a number.
But it's a cool car.
It is a cool car, but it's not a good model name. Is it a good model name?
No.
All right. Listener Greg, we're going to call on you to defend yourself.
Yeah.
Listener Bridger, did I send you this email?
I don't know.
Long list. Nissan Skyline.
Okay.
Which the Skyline never came to the U.S. directly, but there were different things over different years that were called Skyline. They became our GTR. They became our Infiniti G Series cars. Subaru WRX.
Okay.
Viper.
Mm-hmm.
Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Another Alpha in America. I don't get it. Audi R8.
It's just a good car.
Yeah, but it's not a great
name. R8. Rate.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know. Which is, by the way, I think being discontinued.
It is. Yeah. This is a great name. Ferrari LaFerrari.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one, and I was just like, really? LaFerrari?
Was that the first hybrid Ferrari?
I don't remember.
I know that an oil change costs $800.
Oh, that's cheap.
That's rough. Nissan 350 or 370Z, Pontiac Firebird, Ford Raptor, Ram TRX, Corvette Stingray, Volkswagen Beetle. Funny thing about the Beetle was the Beetle was never called the Beetle. Like, okay. That was never its official name until they came out with the new one.
And the new Beetle?
The new Beetle was the first car called Beetle. Defender, that's a great name. Hennessy Venom.
Ooh.
I don't know much about Hennessy, but there's a bunch of vehicles called the Venom that the specialty sports car maker. And then finally, Rolls-Royce Phantom.
Okay.
Is that it? I think that's it.
Okay.
Good list. Thank you, listeners.
Yes.
Fun model names.
Yeah.
We have exhausted that topic.
We have exhausted it.
So I'm just writing that down. Model names, exhausted. We have like 18 months before we can go back to that.
Okay.
But.
You'll forget.
But big news in truck world.
Okay.
Big news.
Yes.
And that's that the Ram has been freshened.
It has been.
And the Ram's been making news for a couple of years now because it briefly outsold the Chevy Silverado.
Yep.
Pretty big deal.
Yep.
Now, it did that with the help of the Ram Classic, a vehicle that we sort of touched on, which was an older version of the Ram.
Like last gen.
Yeah. Yeah. That was available in limited trim levels. But in a showroom, in the Ram showroom, which, as we just noted, also includes other vehicles, If you can't somehow make the $1,300 payment on the Ram you like, maybe look at the Classic, and they could put something together for you for maybe closer to a grand.
Right.
That's the story of the Ram Classic. But perfectly fine vehicle, just a generation old.
Yeah, and I feel like they might be doing away with the Ram Classic.
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah. It's gone.
So,
and that's partially,
act now.
It's partially because something you're about to talk about, and that's the V8 engine is gone.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. What is new about the new Ram 1500?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest news, obviously, is the Hemi is dead. And so that means the TRX is no more after the 2024 model year. And they have like a last edition model that they're pushing out.
Of the TRX. So people who don't know, that is a supercharged, crazy off-road ready, kind of a trail runner
vehicle. Yeah, it's like 702 horsepower or something like that. But crazy, supercharged, V8, very high power, launch control. I took it to an airport. I have a friend who owns a private airport, and I took it out to a runway and played with launch control one day. It was really fun, but very impractical, and I used a lot of gas.
Very expensive, and now that's gone. And whether or not we see versions of that moving forward, and we might, depends on what they can do with this new engine.
Well, so one of the things they've been talking about, and we don't have any details at all, but they're going to be coming out with something they're calling the Ram RHO or RO. I don't know how that will be pronounced. But it will have the high output version of the Hurricane, which is their V6. We have no details. We have no details. Like, is it going to be like supercharged, turbocharged, Hurricane, whatever, or is it just going to be the same output as everything else? Is it going to have features? Like, what we don't know. We'll get more information on that, I think, in a couple of months.
Well, we should talk about that. And you meant inline six.
Yeah.
Inline six. So the old school V6 is still there. The old Pentastar.
Yep, the Pentastar. Did I say V6?
You said V6.
Okay.
With the e-torque mild hybrid system.
That is the base engine.
That's the base engine now. Yep. I've never driven that.
I've driven it. It's fine.
Is it?
It's fine.
It should be.
It's a solid stalwart engine. It's fine.
It's been a lot of Chrysler's for a lot of time. Well, I shouldn't say Chrysler. A lot of Stellantis vehicles.
Yes.
For a lot of time.
Yes.
And then we've got the new Hurricane engines, which are already in the Wagoneer, the Jeep Wagoneer, and Grand Wagoneer.
Yep.
And now they're making their way to Dodge, or to Ram, I should say.
Not a Dodge truck.
So there's a base version of that engine.
Yes.
420 horse?
I don't have the number in front of you, but yes, it's like low 400s,
And then a high output version, which is going to require premium.
Yeah, it is.
So think twice.
I want to say the base engine either recommends, and we can ask Tim about this because he totally is in on this, but I think it either recommends premium or it requires mid-grade. There's some weird kind of thing with
on the base engine?
Oh,
because I just checked. On the EPA site, and they tested it on standard gas.
Okay. Because I thought there was some kind of mid-grade weird requirement.
Well, that's the old Hemi used to require mid-grade, which was weird and expensive.
And the only engine out there I could think of that required mid-grade.
There used to be a Jeep version of the 3.2 liter V6 for some reason that used a mid-grade. God knows why.
Yeah.
Why do that to customers?
And I mean, to be fair, like any engine that requires or recommends the top end fuel, you could get away with putting the lower fuel in, but your horsepower will be docked, your performance will be docked, your fuel economy will be docked.
The best example of this is the turbocharged engine in certain Mazdas, the 2.5 liter 4, which is rated at 227 horsepower on regular gas, 250 on premium.
Yeah.
And they used to require the premium or recommend the premium and only give a horsepower number for that.
Yeah.
And now they're just telling you, if you don't use the premium,
this is what you get.
This is what you get.
Yeah.
And that's what the truth is really in most of these cases. If you're buying something really high performance, use the premium.
Put the premium fuel
in. And don't. Yeah. And you also don't want to compromise your warranty.
No, you don't want to compromise your warranty. You don't want to, you know, gum up your engine, any of that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, so that's that deal. So, tungsten, what's that?
So the tungsten trim is the new top-tier trim for Ram. So it's above the Limited. And it is incredibly bougie. It's probably going to cost you, like, if you get any options or anything whatsoever on it, it's going to cost you $100,000.
I think 6 digits.
Yeah, I think the base price is like 89, and that might be without destination. And it includes things like what is it? It's indigo and sea salt seating material, and so.
Which is the only interior.
The only interior that you can get. And essentially that means you have white seats and a pickup truck.
And you're concerned about these white seats.
So I noticed after just a couple of days of driving the vehicles, like, well, actually, we were the first wave, but I'm assuming other people had been in and out of them. There were already, like, denim stains, like, you know, like your denim had rubbed off on the white. Like, I can imagine that's only going to get worse over time.
The problem with white interiors sometimes, especially seat bottoms, is that people, as they're getting in and out, especially a vehicle that's higher up and requires a little bit of effort, is people use their hand and they grab the outside of the seat to get in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And the palm of your hand is oily.
Yep.
We're human. And that can wear there. And that's where I often see just color fade and nastiness.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was one thing. I was just, I think it looks really great, but I just don't know for a truck if that's the best move.
So talk more about tungsten, though. So we just talked about why the seats would be dirty.
Yeah, just why the seats would be dirty. So, but I mean, you're going to get these like 24-way power adjustable multi-contour seats with this hyper adjustable headrest that's amazing and massaging seats. It is ultra luxury. The trim pieces are really nice. There's leather everywhere. There's suede headliners. You have a 14.5-inch infotainment screen, a 12.3-inch digital cluster. I think it's like either a 12-inch or a 10-inch passenger screen. You know, you've got like all these screens. You've got high-end amenities, lots of stuff.
Also, and this is exciting to me, is Klipsch audio.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. And everybody's like, how did it sound? I'm like, I didn't turn on the radio.
Oh, you suck.
I talked to my driving partner the entire time.
Oh, man. Because the old Macintosh system, which was premium in RAM and Jeep products, really good.
Yeah.
So if this is better than that,
yeah,
that's great.
Well,
Klipsch is an old school manufacturer of speakers and audio equipment.
I'll save the audio review for when my husband is in the car with me, because he truly is an audiophile, and he has like this really great ear for tone and music. And I mean, for me, like, I won't say I'm tone deaf, but for me it's just background noise, and so I'm not the person to give you an audio review, but by all accounts, that is a primo, amazing audio.
Yeah, I think this is off topic, but I think just in general, I think people are less likely to be audiophilic, than they were in the 70s and 80s.
Maybe that's an age thing.
I remember a magazine in the late 70s, early 80s called FM. It was all about music quality and FM radio and tuning your receiver. There's nothing like that anymore. I mean, there's still great sound systems and stuff, but I don't know how many people appreciate them.
Yeah.
Even I don't have a stereo in my office. I just have a little Bose speaker.
Yeah.
Which is, now it's sad that I think about it.
Yeah, you need a Klipsch speaker, apparently.
Well, not one. I need four.
Okay, four. Yeah. So you get the surround sound experience.
Yeah. So new RAM.
Yes.
New engines.
Yes.
No V8 anymore.
No.
And I want to talk to Tim, your boss, about that a little bit, because Ford gets away without selling V8s. There is a V8
yep.
in the F-150 lineup, mm-hmm. but mostly they sell turbocharged sixes.
Yeah, and I mean, where you're going to want the V8, and Tim can talk about this more, but where you're really going to want the V8 is in towing. And they did have a towing demonstration set up. I didn't do it during the drive, but I know Tim did. So he'll be able to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. I once had a Ford engineer tell me that if you're going to tow more than 10,000 pounds, you shouldn't be using a half-ton truck anyway. So these numbers are all just kind of gravy.
Right. But I mean, so I've towed a little bit. Now, I'm not as good of a tower and as much a prolific tower as Tim is. But, you know, I've towed a little bit on these drive programs that we go on. And, you know, what's really important is the stability of the truck while you're towing.
Yeah.
As well as the ability to accelerate while you're towing and not feel like a herky-jerky pull. And so some engines and trucks are set up better to handle that, and it's not so much like in terms of the acceleration, the engine is better, but in terms of the setup for, you know, the towing stability and things like that, the truck could be set up better. So I'll be curious to dive into that a little bit with Tim.
The 8-speed automatic that's in the Ram is a variation of a German transmission built by ZF, and mm-hmm. and that is considered to be like one of the finest automatics ever built, mm-hmm. and it's in a lot of different vehicles, and it shows up in BMWs and Mercedes products as well, but it's supposed to be good stuff.
Yeah.
And I assume it hooks up nicely with the Hurricane engine. Anyway, we're out of time here. Big takeaways from the Ram.
You know what? I don't think most people are going to miss the V8 engine. I think the high output and regular output Hurricane is really, really well done. And I think that there are still a lot of options. Okay, maybe not for your guy who wants a crank window. Those don't exist anymore. Yeah. But there's still, like, the base work truck and the Bighorn model are relatively well priced. They're under, so the average transaction price right now for a vehicle, so all vehicles, is like $47,000. And
yeah.
those are both under that. So I think they're really well done trucks, even at a base level. And for anybody out there who says, oh, but the Rams aren't reliable, go look at Consumer Reports. The Ram 1500 for the past couple of years has been the only full-size pickup truck really that they recommend. So
there you go. Yeah. All right, Ram 1500, when does that go on sale?
Soon. Imminently. Yes.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we talk to Tim Esterdahl.
Yes.
Of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. I'm Tom. She's Jill. This is the Car Stuff Podcast. Jill, are you having a good time?
I am having a fun time.
Funyun.
See what I did there? I'm having a Funyun time.
We couldn't induce producer Randy to eat some Funyuns with us.
No, but at least both Tom and I now who are sharing room have bad breath.
But I think, I often think that like breath cancels.
There you go.
If you both eat the same lousy thing.
Yeah.
Also, interestingly, as oniony as these are, onion first kicks in as a 13th ingredient. Onion powder.
Yeah, so no actual onions, just onion powder.
As you noted, no actual fiber.
No. I think it was 1 gram of fiber.
Which
but
is,
one
which
gram
is,
of protein. Come
well,
on.
That's something.
Let's focus on the positive.
Two for a buck.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, can't really beat the Funyun little half-ounce bags there. This is the time of the show I'd like to remind people that I'm on Twitter.
You are X. on Twitter.
X Twitter. Car Guy Tom.
Yes.
I asked a question. It's always funny because I never know what's going to live and die on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll post something and it just dies there.
Yeah.
Like just, you know, tumbleweed just rolls by. No one likes it. No one comments. And then I asked a simple question. What happened to the Ford Contour? Do you even remember the Ford Contour?
Oh, when I married my husband, he had a Ford Contour SVT.
Oh, he had an SVT, which was the sporty version of that. I remember that.
So, yes, I remember it. I hated it.
But the Contour preceded the Fusion in the Ford lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But it had a small back seat, and mm-hmm. it sold in a lot of numbers. It just wasn't well-liked, but they are gone. I challenge anyone to find a Contour. So I asked about that, and the love or hate relationship that people had with the Ford Contour is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to just see some funny conversation, just find my post about the Ford Contour on Twitter.
Yeah. No, my husband loved his car, loved it, but the engine blew up on it, essentially.
A lot of people on X Twitter suggesting that was common.
Yeah. So, but he had it at least 2 years into our marriage, and I actually have a very funny photo of Ford had given me an empathy belly once. Do you remember that? Do you know what that is? So it's essentially like a backpack for your front that's like a like 6 month pregnant belly. And I put it on and I have a picture of me trying to get into the Ford Contour and adjust the seat, which was a manual transmission, and adjust the seat and be able to drive. And I could not reach the pedals with the front of the belly.
One of the funniest moments in Chicago Tribune history was when Jim Mattea strapped on an empathy belly.
Oh, I bet.
And he was getting into a crossover. Jim Mattea, the legendary car writer for the Chicago Tribune, nationally syndicated, nice guy, grumpy guy. He was a grumpy, nice guy.
He was a friendly, grumpy guy.
But loved by all and was open to doing crazy things like strapping on an empathy belly.
Yep.
And you can probably find the pictures. Yeah. I'll have to look for them.
You know what? We will have to look for them, yes.
All right. On the phone waiting to chat with us is Tim Esterdahl. Tim is your boss at Pickup Truckless SUV Talk and a man who knows an awful lot about pickup trucks. Tim, how are you?
Good. I have this urge to have some Funyuns, though. I don't know why.
Weird.
It's crazy.
We have two unopened half-ounce bags here. Producer Randy is not enjoying Funyuns with us.
Yeah, too bad you're in Nebraska.
Yeah, I think I saw him in the store one time out here, maybe. I don't know.
Tim, tell us a little bit about Pickup Truckless SUV Talk.
It's basically how you think it is. We cover trucks and SUVs. You know, I've kind of named it exactly what we're covering. And so we cover a lot of that stuff, Jill. We're together and we knock things out.
You guys are both a website and a YouTube presence. Tell us about what you guys do on YouTube.
We read comments. I'm sorry. I just finished reading a boatload of comments over the weekend and I'm a little bit, my eyes are a little bit tired.
Did they comment on your shoes, though?
No comments on the shoes, but lots of, imagine that, lots of 2025 Ram 1500 comments. Huh. About how horrible it is, and how it's a junk engine, and how it's nothing, and too expensive, and the world's going to go to an end, and we're all going to die. Yeah, that's kind of
it. People really want to have opinions about things before they should have opinions about things. And I'll do that. I'll prognosticate. I predict. And I was wrong about everything I ever predicted about Tesla, I suppose. But I don't get snarky about it, and I don't think the Hurricane engine is somehow going to be a disaster. But let's get your take on it. Jill just shared her review of the Ram. What do you think of the new Ram?
I think that it's one of the most important refreshes we've seen in a while. Yes, it's refreshed, not like amazingly different, but I think it's really important because it marks the time when the Hemi went away completely. The V8's dead completely for the Ram brand, and we've moved into this Hurricane age of twin turbo inline six engines. So I think it's an important like watermark moment for the Ram brand there and for a lot of truck enthusiasts. It's not going to be seen as a major refresh by any stretch of imagination or major redone, like next generation, whatever. But they did it. I think they just made it about the powertrain. Yes, the tungsten trim is so what it is, $90,000 truck with clips. Sheesh, I think that's what I could say. That audio, I really cannot say that word. I actually practice.
None of us can.
I don't know how the hell they named the company, but yeah. So the audio system. So. You know, I just think it's a really important refresh. I think the powertrain is going to be really good. It's going to make a lot of people really upset because it's not doesn't have a throaty sound. It won't. But I think when you get behind the wheel and you close the doors and you go for a drive, you'll immediately feel how much quicker it is. Even in the standard output trim versus the Hemi, it's just going to be quicker. It's just going to have a better driving experience. I was really impressed with towing with the standard output, how smooth it was off the line, and how just felt like overall it's just really well done. I can't really find anything about that powertrain I don't like, and so I think that it could be an important truck for them. It'll be really interesting to see what happens. It was funny. We did the video like when they first announced Hurricane engines, and I was like bye bye Hemi, and that got a bunch of comments. We were like, oh my god, you're wrong, and then we did the announcement of new changes, and the Hemi was gone. Nobody commented. Nobody said a word about it, which surprised me because when Toyota dropped the V8, it was like every other comment was, oh my God, disaster, disaster, disaster. And then the first drive video came out, and now all the comments about the Hemi being gone are out. So it's interesting to watch how the audience has responded to that. But I think the powertrain is really good. I think the exterior slight changes are good. I don't love the price point, and I made a big deal about talking about that with Ram in person. And all I can say is we don't agree.
Yeah, I mean, so
I had many conversations.
The base price is $40,000. You will not find a Ram 1500 for less than $40,000.
The odds of you finding a Ram for $40,000 are pretty slim to none, too.
Yeah, I mean,
That vehicle anyway, whether or not it exists theoretically.
Right. Yeah. So, Tim, I want you to talk a little bit more about towing, because I don't tow a lot. I tow at programs, but you tow in your life. Like, you tow campers, you tow things to places with the various trucks that you've owned and are driving. And so I think that there's a real fear that this turbo inline six is just not going to be able to do the job. And so I just want you to talk a little bit about that and compare it to some of the other vehicles you've driven.
I think it's really interesting comments, because what it's coming down to is cooling, right? So a turbo needs to be cool. And when you tow, you have a lot of heat. And so a lot of people are concerned about the turbos overheating, and they're concerned about just the three-liter engine, right? So we tend to look at these engines by the cubic terms and go, oh, three, that's too small. It's got to have a five. It's got a five plus. I mean, that's just how Americans think. I think that's been upended in the last couple of years, especially, like, for example, last year I had the three-liter inline six Duramax diesel, which towed amazing. And so, like, and my old 62 used to have an inline six on it. Inline six engines are actually really good, and it's really a shame they're not out there more. But I was, in my view, I think that the Hurricane towed better than the Hemi off the line. Now, whether that's going to look as far as long-term durability and reliability with the turbos and small displacement, that remains to be seen. They've done a lot of work to cool the engine down to meet the towing standards. But I was pretty happy with it. Overall, I was pretty happy with it. There's always been a lot of knock on Ram for having the coil suspension, the five-blade coil suspension in the back, and that typically has a little more squat, which is just bragging rights. It's what it comes down to. Oh, no, my truck squats. Ah! I'm like, well, I squat too occasionally. I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. Squats is not that big of a deal. But no, I think when people actually tow with it, they're going to be really surprised at how much power output there is and how much there's still more acceleration. And I felt really confident in towing with it. I was really surprised. That's really, I would say that's probably the wow factor I had. I can't wait to do a longer towing test. Like, we did, I don't know if you did that test, Jill. It was like 15 minutes out, 15 minutes back. It was just on flat Austin, Texas roads.
Right.
Like, it was nothing. And we pulled an Airstream, which I love how the manufacturers always have Airstreams. Yeah. Notice this?
Because they're big and relatively light.
Exactly. They're big and light, and Airstreams aerodynamically are curved, which makes it excellent to tow with.
Right.
Like, if you want a comfortable towing camper, get an Airstream. But, you know, the thing is, Airstream's really expensive. That's why they don't see that many of them. So, I thought towing was, I was pleasantly surprised with it, I should say. And I wish we had the high output hooked to a camper, because that high output with 500 and some horsepower and 500 and some foot-pounds of torque, I can't remember off the top of my head, like 540, 514, something like that numbers. I would love to see what that does. Now, it is a little frustrating the way they've done this engine, in that both engines, when towing, require premium fuel to get the higher horsepower torque numbers. Even it's interesting because the story came out, a high output one needed premium fuel, which we've seen it before. Jill's written stories like this in the years, for years and years, about certain engines require premium usually. It's a higher trim engines, whatever. But what's interesting is the standard output, it is recommended for towing
interesting.
To get the better horsepower and torque numbers. So, and it's interesting because we're seeing automakers have now more and more doing more premium fuel. And I've heard from different analysts inside the automotive space where they're trying to get that better fuel economy numbers to meet emission standards. Because and also the thing you have happening that I never realized this, but I've learned this in my years of doing this, is that premium fuel burns cooler than regular octane, like 87, 85 octane. 85 out here. I think you have 87, 89 out guys in Chicago. But it's cooler. And so you can actually, with the turbocharged engine, if you run premium fuel, that additional layer of cool goes in there. So you're not getting the engines overly hot.
Right. And the whole point is you can.
Which helps with efficiency and helps with towing.
Yeah. And you can beef up the boost a little bit. I've got two quick questions for you here, Tim, as we run out of time. And one of them is what is the advantage of going to the Hurricane engine for consumers and for Ram? And then the second is, what is the deal with Ram shoppers versus Ford shoppers? Ford has been selling Most of its N150s with V6s for a long time now. Turbocharged V6s. The EcoBoost, I think, is by far the most popular engine in the F-150. And consumers don't seem to have any problem with that at all.
I think it's starting with the Ford and Ram question, it's a question of choice, right? So Ford's offering choices, and all consumers love choices. And now Ram doesn't offer a choice, and that's the big beef, right? Mm. People want to have a
good
choice.
Point. Good point. Good point.
And that's where people are pissed off about it. Oh, my God, whatever. The Hurricane versus Hemi, it's interesting. I've heard that so many different times, different comments and things. And I would flip it around and to say that, why did the Hemi last so long? Like, typically, an engine name like that, you know, you get 10, 15 years, a new engine comes out, you know. This has been 20 years. Like, this technology was out, what, three presidents ago? I mean, think about that. I mean, in those kind of terms, three, four presidents ago was designed. So I think it was just time. It was also time in that the emissions were pushing Ram to do something. Ram doesn't sell cars. That's the other advantage that Ford and GM have, is that they sell EVs. Ram doesn't, or Stellantis doesn't sell any EVs or small cars.
Yeah. Right.
And so they have, they're paying fines to EPA for not meeting CAFE goals. And so that gets tiring after a while. And so they couldn't keep the Hemi. They had to get rid of it because they need to make emissions. And, you know, philosophy, their forward 2030 plan, whatever, to meet emissions goals. So a lot of it is emissions-based, but I also think that engine technology has improved a lot over the years. Interviewing the chief engineer. 20 years ago, he designed the Hemi. Same guy designed the Hemi and the Hurricane. And in 20 years, a lot of things have changed.
What is the fuel economy advantage of the Hurricane engine, do we know?
They haven't published numbers yet.
Okay.
And ultimately, it's going to be like one or two. And the consumer is going to go, I'll drop the one or two and just get the better V8 sound. But the reality is automakers improving fuel economy by one in a full-size truck is pretty remarkable.
Sure, because you're going from like 15 or 16 to 17 or 18. So it's a big leap. And
right.
Especially when you weight it against the huge volume of Rams are going to sell, it actually matters a lot.
Right, and you look at a truck, it has the aerodynamic profile of a brick going down the road. So if you get one more mile per gallon of a rolling brick, it's pretty damn good.
Tim, we've run out of time. Tell us again about Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk, and why should we be checking you guys out?
Because Jill is really amazing.
You go. I've got you trained.
We have a lot of fun over there. We publish a lot of practical truck knowledge and truck information. If you're looking to be an informed consumer, we have all the knowledge you're looking for. And I would say we do an excellent job providing consumers with knowledge they actually need and want. And we cover the basic stuff like fuel tank size, octane levels, you know, how do golf bags sit in the back? I mean, the really important questions of the day we're covering.
Golf bags, super important stuff. Well, and
but it's consumer level. People want to know this.
Well, I would say the other thing that we do really well is Tim lives in the middle of nowhere. Nebraska, I mean that politely.
Yeah, that's right.
And I live in Chicago, and very often we will do city versus country reviews. And so, and also, you know, like Tim is an average size height. I'm not. I'm small. And so, you know, we'll do, you know, height related reviews and things like that. So I feel like we offer a really good variety of very practical information.
There you have it. Tim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yep, my pleasure.
That was Tim Astrodon with Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, it's quiz time. Funyun time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. This is the Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom Appel. She's Jill Simonello. Jill, how you doing?
I'm doing very well.
How are you? You finished your Funyuns.
I finished my Funyuns.
Your mini bag.
Yes, my mini bag of Funyuns.
My bag's still open here. I got...
Yeah, you need to catch up. But yeah, I finished my Funyuns, and I'm wearing new shoes today. I just have to say
Wow.
That. And they're not running shoes. They're actually, like, shoes.
I'm not wearing anything new. I'm wearing a watch that I never wear. But other than that, I don't really have it. But that's not new. It's actually really old.
No, I just have to say, like, I've been very excited about my shoes lately. I have very small feet, so I wear, like, a size 3 in women's shoes. Like, 5 running shoe, but size 3. Women's size 3. You cannot find that unless you go to a place called Cinderella of Boston. Seriously, the name of the company, Cinderella of Boston. So if anybody out there listening knows somebody who has very petite feet, petite feet.
Do you see me not writing this down?
No, I know, but somebody out there. I did a Facebook post last week on this, and I never knew so many people had small feet. They specialize in size 2 to 5.5 women's shoes. And they have, like, really great styles. And I've been literally buying up a storm lately because their shoes are awesome, and I've been buying the shoes in, like, every color. So I'm wearing a pair of, like, brown boots right now, and I bought them in black as well, the only two colors they offer. But, yeah. So I'm very excited about my new shoes.
I'm not going to link to this, so just say the name of the place again.
Cinderella of Boston. It's CinderellaofBoston.com.
All right.
But, yes, so... speaking of social media, because I did post that on Facebook.
I am going to link to Frito-Lay. Wait, is this a Frito product? Who makes Funyuns?
I don't know. Yes, it is Frito-Lay.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
You're going to link to Frito-Lay?
Probably.
Okay. But yeah, social media. I do that.
Oh. Was I going to ask? I guess
you,
so.
You were. And I was trying to, you know, segue with my post about shoes on Facebook. But I usually talk about car stuff.
Super smooth segue, Joe.
I know. I usually talk about car stuff on my social media. But Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, all the things. And then occasionally I talk about shoes and CinderellaofBoston.com.
All right. You know what time it is?
I could look at the clock, but I know that's not what you're referring to.
It's quiz time,
Joe. It is quiz time.
Yeah, this would be quiz 208 if we did a quiz every week.
Okay.
But we have skipped weeks.
We have.
This could be the 200th quiz.
Okay.
All right. Let's just assume it is.
Because this is episode 208, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is episode 208.
So this is probably like quiz 204.
This topic should be pretty straightforward and simple. The question is simply turbo or no turbo.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Five questions.
Okay.
Five of them are auto-related. The last one is super related to the topic of the day. That's the bonus question. You need to get three total.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Just turbo or no turbo. Are you ready?
Okay.
2024 Jeep Gladiator. Is there a turbocharged engine in that vehicle? Available in that vehicle. Thinking? I'm just describing. This is the loud caption. Jill is thinking.
I am thinking. I'm trying to remember if the four-cylinder is turbo or not. I'm going to say turbo.
No turbo. Ugh. No turbo. Gladiator for 2024, only available with the ubiquitous 3.6-liter V6, the same one that's in the Ram.
Okay.
But I don't think it has the e-torque system.
Okay.
All right, you have no points, Jill.
Your favorite phrase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2024 Toyota Camry, turbo, no turbo.
I haven't driven the Camry.
The music kills me when you're stalling.
I haven't driven the Camry in 2 or 3 years. I think the last time I drove it was in 2020, and I had the TRD version, which was in this great blue color.
Yeah, still a darn hot seller.
I'm going to say turbo.
No turbo.
Dang it.
Yeah.
I wanted to have a turbo.
There is still the old school 3.5 liter V6.
All right.
2.5 liter hybrid and 2.5 liter standard engine. No turbo.
Boo.
You have no points. You have four chances to get 3 points. So this is getting desperate.
It is getting desperate. I'm going to like, I feel like lately I've done like 5 for 5 or 0 for 5. Like there is no in between here. Yeah. So I think I'm going for zero.
2024 Nissan Altima. Turbo, no turbo.
You know what? I have an Altima that was literally just scheduled for me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That was freshened like last year. I've never seen it. I've never seen the updated Altima.
I feel like I have it coming in like 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh.
I'm going to say no turbo.
Turbo.
I give up.
Yeah.
I totally give up.
The Nissan Variable Compression Turbo, the VCT, is available in that vehicle. You need to get the next three.
I'm totally not doing it.
You need to run.
I'm not doing it.
You might get this one. 2024 right. GMC Sierra. Turbo, no turbo.
Turbo.
Yes. There's two turbocharged engines there.
Right.
That weird four-cylinder engine that no one talks about, the dual-volute 2.7-liter turbo.
Right.
V8 levels of power, but some questions about smoothness. And they still have the diesel.
Right. And I feel like that 2.7-liter engine is also the same engine we see in the Canyon and Colorado.
And a secret no one wants you to know, it's also basically the same engine that's in a couple of Cadillacs.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Well, in the midsize trucks, they're tuned to like you can get them like tuned a couple of ways. I know
there's like three trim levels in the GMC.
Yeah, three
output levels.
Three tuning levels. Yeah, and I just, whatever. I think it was the weirdest thing ever. But yeah, same all engine, right. Two
got,
and three
you've
ways.
You've got 1 point. You need to go 2 for 2.
All right.
For a victory.
Totally not doing it.
Last regular question, the 2024 Lexus UX.
Ha!
That is the Lexus Tiny crossover.
Tiny. You know, it's really funny. I just did a walk around of that at the Chicago Auto Show, and I did not
did
even look at the engine. Because, like, it has not been refreshed or updated in years. It's been years since I've driven it.
They've simplified the powertrain lineup.
Okay. But I did not look at the engine.
I don't think the media loves that car. I think owners do.
Yeah.
It's a nice, small crossover.
It is. It's very city-sized. I liked it. I'm going to... No turbo.
Just a hybrid.
Okay.
That's it. You have 2 points. You need to get the bonus question right, and you win. All right. We were talking today, earlier today.
Because we know how I do so well on the bonus questions.
We were talking food. But we were not talking... Oh, we were talking about Doma.
Yes, we were. We were talking about Doma. Tomates.
Yeah, which is...
stuffed grape leaves.
Yeah, so good.
Love them.
They need to be super fresh, handmade. And
yeah.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
And just a shout out to Pita Inn, which is a small chain here in Chicago.
Yeah. The place that I get my dolmas from is like around the corner in Logan Square. It's called Yabba's.
What's it called?
Yabba's.
Yabba's?
Yeah.
Y-A-B-B-A?
Yeah. I think it's two B's. Yep.
There you go. Yabba's.
Yep.
All right. Indian Veggie Delight. That's the website.
Okay.
Okay, I love Indian food, and one of my favorite things is Belpuri. Belpuri, are you familiar?
No.
Belpuri, sometimes called Belpuri chat, is a snappy appetizer salad.
Snappy?
Snappy, yeah, it's crunchy.
It's snappy,
it's delicious. And I'm happy to eat it as an entree. Which of the following is not a Belpuri ingredient, according to Indian Veggie Delight?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Puffed rice.
Okay.
Chopped onions.
Okay.
Popdi, P-O-P-D-I, which is an Indian cracker, or raisins.
Huh. I have never heard of this dish. I too like
you
Indian
want it.
Food.
You want it. So good. And insanely healthy.
I don't know. If it has puffed rice or some kind of a cracker in it, that is not insanely healthy.
Insanely healthy. I don't want to disparage Belpuri in any way.
Okay. Kind of like Funyuns are insanely healthy as well.
Super healthy, yeah.
Super healthy.
They have a vegetable. It's onion.
Okay, so you said there's like puffed rice, some kind of cracker, onions, and
raisins.
Raisins.
Yeah. According to Indian Veggie Delight, that's a website.
I don't know that you would have puffed rice and crackers.
Hmm.
But then I also don't really... I mean, I probably wouldn't have eaten it, but I don't know of any Indian food that has raisins in it.
Interesting.
I know one of my favorite Cuban dishes has raisins in it, raisins mm-hmm. and olives.
Yeah.
Picadillo, criollo.
I'm going to need an answer sometime soon.
I still have like 5 minutes. I could stall for all of that time.
You can, but I have some self-promotion to get to.
Got it.
And it's all about me.
It is all about you. Okay, so first inclination is to go with either puffed rice or crackers. Second inclination would be go to with raisins.
Uh-huh.
I do think there's probably onions in there.
Yeah.
And watch, it's probably going to be onions because that's the one
It is Funyun Day. I don't know if that matters.
Because that is the one thing that I think would be in there. It's probably the one thing that is not in there. I'm going to say raisins.
You are correct.
Huh?
You pulled this one off.
Wow, skin of my teeth.
I am signing this right now.
I did not think that I would get that.
There you go. You have won the quiz by the skin of your teeth.
Skin.
By the
skin
Belpuri of your teeth.
So, do you know of any Indian food that has
no. Raisins? No.
Yeah.
No. By the way, Indian Bistro in Palatine, Illinois.
Which is where we are currently recording from.
We could walk. I would never do that, but we could walk to Indian Bistro from here. Great okay. Belpuri. Great food.
We should go there sometime for lunch if they're open for lunch before the show.
It's not a very pleasant dining room.
Oh. Okay. Got it.
There's a place right up the street we could go for lunch that does Indian.
Okay.
Indian we can order some Belpuri. I have to do some self-promotion here real quick.
Okay.
All right. If you're listening on Talk Zone right now, this is the only way you would hear this in time, but I joined the Lisa Dent Show on WGN Radio today at 6:15.
Okay.
6:15 Chicago time. Wednesday, I joined the Patty Vasca Show on WCPT here in Chicago. That's at 6:30 p.m. Central time.
Okay.
And Saturday, midnight, Saturday into Sunday, I joined the Steve and Johnny Show on WGN.
And can those be streamed?
All of them can be streamed.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why I'm not giving out more information. Because, yeah, just go to WGN Radio or WCPT Radio and you can stream those shows. So we're talking recalls with Steve and Johnny.
Okay.
Tonight we're talking about, with Lisa Dent, we're talking about the new less stringent emissions rules going forward as electric car adoption seems to have slowed down.
Yeah.
And there you have it. You driving anything good right now?
So I'm driving the Honda Pilot Trail Sport.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk about Trail Sport.
So Trail Sport is kind of their off-roady version of it, and it has like beefier tires, orange trim pieces. I think it's got a little bit of a higher ground clearance. One of our friends, our media friends, Mercedes Lilienthal, competed in Trail Sport Honda in the
Rebel
Rally.
Completely stock, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and it
finished. And they beat us.
Oh, okay. Well, that, I mean,
they beat us.
But that says a lot about that package.
Yes.
Because it's still, if it's a Honda, it still needs to be street friendly.
Yep.
You know, Honda wouldn't commit to something crazy over the top.
That's true. I will say I drove to and from Indianapolis over the weekend. And the one thing my husband and I could agree on is the seats are not comfortable.
Interesting.
At least not for us. Maybe I would love to know if somebody finds them comfortable, but we did not.
The Honda Pilot, traditionally a well-loved vehicle.
Yeah.
Due for a redesign soon. I want to talk a little bit about Trail Sport. We have like just a minute or two here left, but it is interesting how makers have gotten away from building sporty vehicles and are building off-roady vehicles.
Yep. Well,
and maybe I've beat this drum before, but this is just another example of that.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that trend, I mean, it was probably starting to become a trend before COVID hit, but I think that it really took off.
I think you're right.
During COVID, because people couldn't go inside places, so they went outside places.
I wonder how many people really went outside places or just wanted to and just like to have the freedom to do it. Like they could say they could do it.
Yeah. I think during COVID, a lot of people did spend more time outside. I know, and this is something that you are going to love to hear, a lot of people started running during COVID because they couldn't go to gyms anymore. And so there was like a huge boom for like spending time outside and running outside. So I think it's absolutely a thing that people like did camping and overlanding and off-roading a lot more during COVID. And hopefully it's a trend
We were all suffering from a certain amount of cabin fever brought on by the fact that we weren't seeing other people.
Yeah.
And we were getting tired of our own four walls. But it's a very interesting trend in the truck world and the crossover world is that stuff. And pretty good vehicle?
Yes.
Does the off-roady stuff compromise the general goodness of the Pilot?
I don't think so. It was really comfortable on the highway. The one annoying thing that I found on the way over here, other than the discomfort of the seats, is the adaptive cruise control shuts off under like 22 miles per hour. So it's not all the way to a stop. And a lot of modern technology with the adaptive cruise control, which modulates your speed based on radar in the car in front of you, will allow you to go all the way to a stop.
Yeah, it depends on the system.
Yeah, the system does not go below 20. It shuts off below 20.
Guess what we did?
We talked a lot.
We did, but good
we
show,
ran
I
out
think.
Of time. Yeah, very good show.
We had Tim Estrada on the show. We had Funyuns.
We had Funyuns. We had fun.
I don't know what else. We have terrible breath.
Yeah.
And we talked about Indian food.
Yes.
That's a good summary.
Yeah.
I have to put together a summary very quickly.
Yeah.
When I get back home.
Oh, one more thing to mention.
What?
Quickly, I've started putting the podcast on my YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
So you, in addition to being able to stream from all of your podcasting favorite places, you can now get it on YouTube on my Car du Jour Jill Simonello channel.
So just more access.
More access.
To the fabulously popular. Last episode, by the way, very popular. Hello, new listeners. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Thanks to Tim Estradal of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to producer Randy and the good folks here at Talk Zone. And thanks to Speedway for the 50-cent bags of Funyuns. Couldn't have done it without you. Let's talk more about cars again.
Next week.
Next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.